Get to Craig Button from TSN, former NHL general manager and scout, now analyst on TSN. Butts, how are you, my man?
I'm good, Jason. How are you today?
I'm outstanding. I'm very good. I want to start, actually, the hottest guy in hockey right now is in the Western Hockey League with four hat tricks in his last five games. Ridiculous. He's just, you know, he's on fire with 23 points in his last eight games, including 15 goals. Dryden Hunt from the Moose Jaw Warriors, who's never got drafted in the Bantam draft, has not been drafted in the NHL. A little bit of a late developer, definitely had to work on his skating, but I think he has a pro shot right now. Do you see a team signing him as a free agent?
Well, I let me take a step back. He should have been drafted last year. I mean, I'm amazed at times. You know, I know that it's an 18-year-old draft, but there's players that get better, and you got to keep paying attention. You know, Andrew Shaw, who's won two Stanley Cups for the Chicago Blackhawks, went through two drafts, and then he became a draft pick. He's become a real important member of the Chicago Blackhawks. I watched Dryden Hunt last year in Medicine Hat, and I'm going, geez, you know what? He just keeps getting better and better and better and better. And to me, that type of skill, that type of thinking, to me, I'm puzzled why an NHL team wouldn't draft him. Now I'm just waiting for an NHL team to sign him. I mean, he reminds me so much of Chris Kunitz. It's scary the way he thinks, the way he can play with good players. And to me, like, you know, I would like a team to come out and say they're not interested in him. But then I could really say, geez, how stupid are you?
Now, teams won't sign him until March because, right, from what I understand, for the contract thing, right, it's for a year of free agency if you wait until March.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
Okay. So, because there's a few 20-year-olds that I think teams are looking at. I think Hunt likely will be one of them. I think John Martin in Swift Current's probably another guy who's likely going to get a contract.
Agree with you. Totally 100%. You know, John Martin has scored some goals, and he looks like a real good goal scorer. But to me, Dryden Hunt's the real player. Nothing against John Martin. He might be able to develop, but to me, I'm all over Dryden Hunt. And I would have jumped it. If I was an NHL team and I'm in a bidding process, I would have jumped it, and I would have forgone a year of free agency to get him.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Because it's only a year of free agency. It doesn't impact your entry level deal at all. It just, he's just
no,
a free agent
all.
1 year earlier. That's all.
So, and when you're in a competitive situation, why not get after him? Like,
yeah.
to me, everybody's out. Like, to me, that's you know, one of the biggest things, you've had the opportunity to watch him quite a bit in Moose Jaw. But to me, he can play with good players. And we all talk about, oh, how will that guy fit with a good player? It's not easy to play with good players. And when you see a player that can play with good players, boy, that to me is a telltale sign of translation to the NHL.
A very good point. Ralph from The Rock is in at $1,400 on our auction. I just want to throw that in. That's great. Craig, we'll move to let's stay quickly with the CHL and Flint Firebirds. I can't recall a situation where the league stepped in and suspended an owner. Can you?
No, I can't think of one. Certainly not in any type of recent history. I do know this. I applaud David Branch. And, you know, in a week where he was honored with, you know, really a significant honor from Hockey Canada, the Order of Hockey in Canada, and well-deserving, and then he's got to deal with this. But, you know, one thing that makes a leader, and I think David is an outstanding leader, is he's not afraid to take a position that's strong, but a position that he believes in. And he believes that this is wrong. And it's not just the way that he's acting, the owner. It's everybody around the owner. And he understands the impact that it can have on the players. Listen, I'll be straightforward with you. And, like, until that situation gets settled in, if I'm a parent or I'm an agent of any player, I am telling my kid we are not going to Flint. There is no way I'm saying that we're going to Flint. In fact, I'm saying, like, don't draft my kid because he ain't coming. And David Branch understands that. And to me, taking this step was not only the right step, it was an important step to take because, it's a disaster. The guy is a clown. And, you know, you can't have the circus roll into town wherever you are in the OHL and have this going on. And, you know, John Gruden, who I know really, really well, and I believe is a really good coach, you know, he's such a victim in this, as well as David Karpa, as well as the players. And to me, David Branch wants to make sure that that this type of scenario doesn't impact anybody else in the future. And I think that's really important for David to make sure it doesn't happen.
Well, I'm very curious. I don't know how the bylaws are, but could they just force him to sell the team?
I don't know. I don't know how, we use the word force. I don't know. Yeah. But, but all of a sudden, if every player says, I'm not going to Flint, right? Yeah. I'm not going to play there. I'm not going to play for that owner. You got a big problem. I mean, and to me, I don't know the bylaws of the Ontario Hockey League. But when you buy in, there's certain things that you have to act in accordance with. And my understanding is, when you're running a significant league like the Ontario Hockey League, you have these safeguards in place in the form of bylaws that say the commissioner can force, that's the word we'll use right now, but can put you in a position where you have to sell the team.
Yeah, well, we saw it in the NBA last year with the Clippers, so I guess, and I don't know what the guidelines are in the league, but something tells me the OHL likely will want to change things in Flint. Let's move to the National Hockey League. Now, the Montreal Canadiens, many years ago, you had a player storm off the ice because he was upset about being left in too long by Mario Tremblay, and then Patrick Roy got traded and went on to win multiple Stanley Cups. The situation in Montreal is a little bit different. The coach came out and ripped this player for, selfish play. And now I've seen some selfish plays, Craig. To me, that's not really the top of my list when all you do is give up a 3-on-3. So I'm not sure for me, but is this the beginning of the end in your eyes for Michel Therrien in Montreal?
Absolutely, it is. I think it's Jamie McLennan had a good line, and his line was, the house is burning, and he just lit another room on fire. So to me, when that happens, it's a telltale sign that he doesn't have any faith, and he's going to lob his Molotov cocktails into the rooms that aren't on fire. I read some of your tweets yesterday, Jason, and I thought they were outstanding. And if selfish is here's what the selfish play for PK Subban would be: that he purposely created a nick in his skate so he could lose an edge and fall down in that situation while trying to make a play. I'll be straightforward. Michel Therrien is a friend of mine. Michel Therrien is somebody that I've known a long time. I cannot tell you how wrong Michel Therrien was in doing what he did after that game. And it just reeks of, listen, I'm lobbing a grenade on this scenario because he probably feels that his days are numbered.
Well, yeah, the thing is, in Montreal, yeah, Carey Price is an obvious angle to look at. But the Montreal Canadiens, then you're telling me their lineup is worse than the Edmonton Oilers? Because since Price has gone down, they're worse standing-wise in the Oilers. They're worse standing-wise in the Toronto Maple Leafs. And this was a team that even when Carey Price was out early in the year or backing up, sitting on the bench, they won 7 games in 11 tries without him. The wheels have completely fallen off. It can't just be Carey Price. What else is wrong or lacking or missing on that team?
Yeah, and really, really, I think important to talk about the different things. Number one, Michael Condon comes into the team, and goalies can come in, and if you have capability, you're going to be able to hold your own. And then once the teams start to figure out, what your weaknesses are, they're going to exploit you at every turn. And the key for goaltenders, as it is for any other player, but especially for goaltenders, is to make sure that you're adjusting to what the other teams are doing. Michael Condon's showing you why he was never drafted and why he's really a minor league goaltender. I mean, his numbers are terrible. I don't see him as an NHL goaltender. While he showed maybe he could be a backup, he can't carry the load. Then you have Ben Scrivens. I mean, Ben Scrivens went in and won a few games, and yeah, Ben Scrivens can win some games, but if he's your answer, you're in big trouble. I look at through their lineup, they're small up the center ice position. They don't score. They have a real tough time. They don't have game breakers. I mean, yeah, Brendan Gallagher is going to be a player that's all in all the time, but he scores in a different way. Max Pacioretty is their only real game breaker. So despite the fact that I think the Montreal Canadiens do a lot of things right, and I do believe they do a lot of things right, they can't score. They don't have enough good offensive players that can really back up an opponent, that can really extend your lead, that can take advantage of their good purposeful play. They get up you know, by a goal, or they get up two, and they can't extend that. And teams are never out of a game against them. Then you talk about weak goaltending, and that becomes a problem. And I'm going to say this, and I said it at the time, but I'm going to reiterate it again. Mark Bergevin is going to rue the day that he signed Thomas Pekanec to a two-year extension at that kind of money. Because to me, you know what? There comes a point in time when there's diminishing returns, and a $6 million AAV on the salary cap for Thomas Pekanec, there's no value there.
Agreed on that. That one was a little surprising to me. I understand the loyalty issue for general managers, and experience is definitely a necessity. We don't see enough of it in Edmonton. That's obvious. But, you know, when you sign a veteran player, I have no problem signing him, but when you overpay him, that can really come back to bite you, especially with the potential of the salary cap going down.
Well, see, that's the key right there. So, and everybody knew that the salary cap wasn't going up. And listen, I have no problem with loyalty, but you want to know something? You know what the NHL is about? You know what pro sports is about? It's about productivity. Is the player productive at that rate of salary? And if he isn't, you walk away from him. You have to do it. I call it dispassionate assessment. If you don't do it, you're going to be stuck with a player. And where does your loyalty get you? Guess what? Nowhere.
Craig Button from TSN joins us. Craig, last year, Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel created a lot of buzz, and we see why, you know, both exceptional skaters in the National Hockey League. Austin Matthews is over in the Swiss League and playing exceptionally well. You know, the top three picks are basically in Europe right now. For Oilers fans who sadly are now having to focus again on the lotteries, Austin Matthews, how would you compare him? Like, would he be in the obvious clear slam dunk number three pick behind the, like, how close is he to Eichel and McDavid?
Well, I think what's become clear to me is there's probably nobody close to Connor McDavid. He's that good, right? And you know what? Jack Eichel has got 17 goals and has been excellent for the Buffalo Sabres. So I see Matthews more in the line of Jack Eichel. And what you're talking about here is we're talking about number one centerman. And how many number one centermen are in the league? And there's no doubt in my mind that Austin Matthews is a number one center. He's the best player in the Swiss League. Not the best 18-year-old. Not the best. He's the best player in the Swiss League as an 18-year-old. And, you know, and that's a good league. Like, make no mistake about it. It's a good league. He dominates it in so many different regards. And I just don't know where you find dominant centermen like that. And, you know, Connor McDavid is, you know, one of the things I've learned, Jason, is we talk about generational players. And what Connor McDavid has shown is that he is a truly generational player. And that Eichel and Matthews are just a notch below. But that notch can be, you know, when you're talking about exceptional players, generational players, you know, that's enough to separate them. And to me, Matthews isn't in that category. You had Crosby in 05. You had McDavid in 2015. And as good as Eichel and Matthews are, that generational status, that generational designation is reserved for the very few. But, you know, Matthews, to me, you have a centerman like that can play in so many areas of the game. I mean, that is an important part of winning.
Oh, yeah, huge part of winning. And quickly, in your eyes, in 4 years, who do you think is going to be the most influential defenseman from this year's draft?
That's a great question. It really is. Like, because, you know, defensemen, we look at defensemen and we watch and everything. And, you know, one of the things that I don't really wrestle with it, but we see players at a younger age that can skate or bigger, more powerful. And then you see other players catch up. Like, I watched Jake Bean in Calgary. He's got 20-plus goals. He's a dynamic player. And right now, his physical maturity needs to take place. But he defends well. His positioning is excellent. And once he gets stronger, he's going to be even better in that area. I watch Ole Ualavi, and I think Ole Ualavi is just a superb defenseman. I watch Dante Fabro. And if you're looking for flash, you're never going to get it from Dante. But if you're looking for a guy that's just out there in every critical situation and doesn't make mistakes, Dante Fabro's your guy. There's a guy playing in North Bay. He played in New Jersey. His name is Cameron Dineen. I mean, what he's doing as a rookie defenseman in the Ontario Hockey League is unheard of. And I watch guys that can think. And I'm talking about elite thinkers. I'm talking about mind speed, the ability to recognize defensively, offensively, what needs to happen at any moment in time. And if you've guessed it, I have some questions if Jacob Chychrun is an elite defenseman. I think he's going to be a very good, solid, top three defenseman. I don't think he's an elite defenseman.
And one last one for you, Craig. We're here now nearing the end of February, and, you know, there's so many young players in the draft. They're still only 18 years of age, and, you know, we're getting into the kind of the maybe the fatigue kicks in for some young guys. How closely do you monitor that? And if you see players now improving late in this season and into the playoffs, does that usually change the thought process of a lot of scouts heading into the draft?
Well, you know, like, you know, yeah, I think it can change. You want to see players be able to sustain their play. But one of the things that I think really helps players sustain play is their ability to think. You know, it's the same thing with a 3-3. You know, when I go and watch a guy on the third game of in 3 days, in a lot of cases in junior hockey, it's the third game in 2.5 days, I'm not really evaluating how much energy he plays with. I want to see how he thinks his way through the game, how he thinks his way, you know, when he is tired. Does he still put himself in positions that he can't recover from? Is he trying to do things that he doesn't have the energy to recover from? That thinking component, to me, becomes such an important part, because at the NHL level, you know, every mistake is magnified. And if you're going to put yourself in positions where you're going to, you know, try things that aren't going to work, you know, again, I use the word, does it translate to the NHL? I think that those are red flags. So to me, I think that players that can sustain it, like, and be able to think their way through the moments of fatigue, the moments of a season getting into its harder parts, I that's what I look for. And I think NHL teams are definitely looking to assess how players are, you know, when they're tired, when they're into the challenges late into a season.
Craig, as always, great to catch up with you, man. Have yourself a spectacular weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
You too. Thanks, Jason.